Stephen and Jill here, or Jill and Stephen here. This is the Land Academy Show. Welcome. Happy you are here. Today, we are so excited to have with us on our show longtime members and friends, Catherine and Mike Alon. Welcome.
How you doing? Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I can't wait to talk to you two about what it's like to work with your spouse.
Yes.
do you have a glass of wine handy?
Right. Yeah, I should. I'd never do that. I should have some, like, even if, we'll start doing that on our women's calls, Catherine. Catherine's with me on our Land Academy ladies group that we have. And I'm going to say on one of them, we'll make it maybe a Christmas fun thing. Everybody has to have a glass of wine if they drink. That would be fun.
Love it. So what is it to what's it like, Michael, to work with your wife?
I'm pretty lucky to work with my wife, actually. Kathy is Kathy really is a huge asset to the team. She's works very hard at what she does. She does a lot of good due diligence. She really researches some things and digs in deep with some of the county research. So I'm really lucky from that perspective. She's also really a good, kind of a copywriter too. She writes some good copy for our ads. So she's much better at that than I am. So I'm pretty lucky from that perspective.
Well, we should have these interviews more often.
I love it. I have to say, I've noticed that, Catherine. I've seen some of your property posts on Facebook and things like that. I'm like, that sounds dreamy. I want to buy that. I want to go there. I want to be that. It sounds really good. So give us some of your backstory. Tell us, for anyone watching or listening that doesn't know you, how you got here.
Yeah. So I'll start off with the story here. This real estate venture probably started about, 5 years ago. And started off with basically Kathy was working for a big bank in the U.S. And I think she kind of got to a point in the corporate environment where they started to let go of people at the higher pay grades and hire it from the bottom. And so after being with the bank for 14 years, she was released from the bank. And we really had to figure out what we were going to do. And one of the things we wanted to do was replace our income. And just when about that time when she lost her job, we caught wind of one of these house flipping gurus coming to town to sell us, to try to get us into the house business for, only a small fortune. And we did attend into it, and we kind of bought into their process, but nonetheless, though, we did, take the pill and haven't really turned back since. So we've been, we were trying to get into the house business from very different angles. Either from a wholesaling and flipping, we actually did purchase an apartment or a condo in a very expensive part of Boston. And we did, it was a light rehab, if you will, and we did rehab that property and we made a nice profit out of it. And we did it the way that you're supposed to do it, is with, other people's money. It was a great, absolutely fantastic part of, or west of Boston, in a great town in Wellesley, Mass, right next to Wellesley College, actually. But we had limited success, house ventures, if you will. Some were successful, but we never had that consistency. And then it was probably about, a year or two into that, where I heard a podcast about land flipping. I think it was from a member, Joe McCall. Do you guys know Joe McCall?
Yeah.
So I heard it from him, and he's one of the gurus out there, one of the good gurus, actually, and he's a well-respected guy, and we took some training from him. But he mentioned that about Land Academy, and then I previously heard about it from from Jack Bosch or from other podcasts, and Jack was on his podcast. So basically, through them, I went to I found Land Academy and started listening to the podcast. And what, of course, really drew me in was the whole data perspective of it, right? You know, was getting the a big list of names and being able to target those potential sellers easily. And that's what it really attracted me. So I was looking at the course. I think I called in and this is probably 4 years ago. And somehow, Jill, I talked to you once, and then we hung up the phone. A few days went by, maybe a week or two went by. And then you called me again. It was like Christmas Eve or something, I think it was.
That's so funny.
And you're like, Mike, come on, Mike, what do you think? You know, is this right for you or whatever? And I was asking you a bunch of questions about, how is this really true, whatever. But you sold me, and it was your personal touch that got me into Land Academy. And for that, I'm really, really grateful for that. That was really, really awesome. So we got into Land Academy. I think I started like January 1st. It took maybe three weeks or so to go through the materials. I got out of the mailer, and we were off. And I think I had maybe the first property I bought was in Yavapai County. I still remember that deal. And in fact, it was a piece of land I really would want to hang on to because it was so dreamy. I bought it for $500. It was at the top of a hill it was unique. It overlooked a bunch of other property. And I bought it for $500, ended up selling to the neighbor for $2,500. So it was a great primer into the rest of the whole thing. So that's how we got started.
Love it.
So how many deals have you done in the last 4 years, ballpark? And what are the economics basically?
Well, we don't have these hundreds and hundreds of deals like you might hear from Luke or somebody, or thousands in this case. We really are probably only hovering on like around 85 or 90 deals. So in today's world, what we're doing today is we're trying to do 4 deals a month.
That's great.
My personal goals are 4 $10,000 profit deals per month.
Excellent.
And we're not quite there. That we're around 2.5, 3 deals a month, but we're trying to pick that up.
I mean, it's $500,000 a year.
$500,000. So now if we could just either double that for next year or just change 10,000 to 20,000, now we're looking at $1,000,000. So that's part of the goal there. Same amount of transactions, more or less, just bigger and better property.
I don't want to be boring here, but what is there, what do you find the most difficult part of this for you? Again, coming back to working together.
Yeah. Oh, coming back working together? The most difficult part? Kathy, why don't you answer?
I'm an alpha female. I have opinions, and I have a hard time not voicing them. I have to really bite my tongue or cheek. That's probably the hardest part. And it's not because I doubt Mike. I do ask a lot of questions, and sometimes that's not taken the right way. But I'm very quick to make a decision, and Mike likes to think about it much more, a longer time. And we just think differently. We have a very similar goal, and we can see our vision very much lined up, but how we get there and how quickly I make a decision versus what Mike makes are just polar opposites.
Yeah. In many ways, I think we're a lot like you and want to be even more like you, where Steve is the data side of it and Jill is the inspiration people side of the business, and having we're lucky to be like you. I think, Steve, you've mentioned this before, this business is really best suited for women, right? Because women, it's a communication business, and who's better at it than women other than, curmudgeon old men like us don't do well in this, right?
That's right.
So, so we're lucky to have our spouses here who can really, you know, soften the whole side of the business and get things done.
So Catherine, are you the primary person? Are you answering the calls or do you sub them out to Pat Live or somebody?
So it kind of works this way. So we have two VAs. We have one who handles the Facebook marketing and social media part. And then we also have a young lady who our calls, when people call, they go to voicemail. Mike has a pretty long script in his voicemail asking for information and things like that. Those go to voicemail. The VA comes in and monitors the mailbox, goes through all those calls or missed calls, calls them back unless they are absolutely telling us they don't want our offer.
Right.
And they're clear on that. She'll call them back, missed calls. She also takes in the calls in the afternoon, like 12 to 3 every day for buyers. So she does that, and then she adds new people to our database as she's speaking to them. She answers emails for, like, from Zillow, LandWatch, all the land websites, those inquiries, and then she provides directions and things like that to people who want to go visit the property. So when she's not working, the information taken from the seller, I do a quick gut check, parcel fact, Google Earth, spin around, see if I like it. If I can get a street view, that's like a bonus, you know. And then once I've done that, I'm pretty happy.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
I don't know where that cut off, but.
Okay. We'll just keep going, I guess.
Yeah.
So we do the due diligence. I do my initial gut check, see if I like it. If I like it, I'll do a little bit more digging, zoom in on Google Earth, things like that. And then I assign a task for Mike to look at it later in the evening to say if he thinks it's equally nice. And then if we agree, I immediately do my due diligence, you know, the zoning, all that kind of stuff, right? Read the deeds. And basically from that point all the way through the closing on buying and selling.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. You guys divide it up.
Yeah,
pretty similarly to us, because I like that.
You know, when we first started out, we were tripping all over each other because I was used to doing everything. And then I didn't know what Jill's skill was. Or, I mean, did you guys do that at first or did you work it out pretty quickly?
When I first started, after Jill got me on board, I did it for a year about by myself. Because Kathy, we were still entrenched in the house business, we're still trying to make it work, still believed in houses. And we had spent money there and some coaching and we were in some good groups and other people really doing well in that house business. But we just couldn't really make it work for us. In the house business, when the phone rings and somebody says, yes, you have to drop what you're doing and go out and see the house. And then when I'm working a job, you know, it's just not working. Or if Kathy's here with our daughter, it's just, you just can't just leave. And furthermore, she didn't like running off to some house with who knows who's there and crawling through some dirty house and to say I'm going to give you an offer. So the business is just lousy from that perspective.
It wasn't a good fit. I mean, I got stuck in a house, trapped in an old dingy house, and a big pit bull on the outside of the door barking at me. So that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore.
I just send you with a bodyguard.
Jeez.
I understand totally. So how long ago was the last house that you did?
The last house we did? Well, let's see, we think we've been in Land Academy now. I think we're 3.5 years or 4 years. I'm not really sure.
For me, it's about 2.5. I think I'm more about 2.5 years ago. I love it.
And so we probably did our last house maybe let's call it 4 years ago. It was probably a wholesale deal. So we didn't do a whole bunch of business. We did do some lease option deals. And we still have one going on actually that materialized, 3 years ago and still going on. So, but we've got a couple other things brewing per se.
The good news is you learned on something way more difficult. So I'm sure the transition over to just like, this is all I have to do. You mean I don't have to arrange an inspection and get the power turned on or whatever, yeah. Or worry about a pit bull and being stuck in a house. There's nothing like that. So this is probably like, oh, a breath of fresh air. So that's what it is for me. It's like, sometimes I know we always have things like that in the works and other things that he's working on that are more difficult, but also profitable, but my heart and soul's in land too.
Yeah.
Like if I, at the end of the day, I can count on it.
Yeah. You know what I love about it too, is that I feel like I'm a milk salesman or I sell bread, something wholesome. Like everybody needs bread, right? Mm-hmm. It's pure, it's innocent. Everybody needs it. How can you go wrong with it, right? It's not like you're pushing something on someone who really doesn't need it or doesn't want it, doesn't fit, wrong color. It's just simple.
Especially if it's priced right. Mm-hmm. If it's a great deal for us and it's a great deal from the person who's buying it, I feel great about the deal all the way around.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And also too, after people buy the land, sometimes we don't always get videos. We try really hard to get a testimonial, but it's hard to get videos, I don't know. But we do get a lot of emails, and we have one gentleman in particular who bought a property like probably 5 months ago from us. And he was retired and he was going out and buying heavy equipment. He dug a road into the property. He sends me emails with all his updates, and he's going to build a dream home with a jacuzzi to watch over the land below. And he keeps sending me pictures. There's no video.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, we're trying to get video testimonial from our land buyers. We have a few, that we can put together on our webpage, and so those are good. Just trying to get more.
The way that's ever worked for us.
I'll bribe them, yeah.
Yeah, the only way it's ever worked for us is to pay them and then have a crew go out there, yeah. A local crew. That'll set it up and light it and have a script for the crew to ask them. And in the end, we never thought that it paid out the way that it should.
Yeah.
That's, I can see how that would be a good way to do it, is to pay them. There are some apps out there that we're trying to get them to do. There's a website called sotellus.com, I think it is. Yeah. And it's a custom review website, if you will. And it's pretty powerful in the house business. It allows customers to leave video testimonials. So I'm thinking about that. Is it maybe something you want to check out? The more video testimonials, the better. And as you've known, if you've seen Belandio's website, his video testimonials are just amazing, right?
Yeah, he does a great job.
I send them send us cards with two big giant brownies and a card asking for a video testimonial after all the closings. And they eat the brownies and say thank you. But we rarely get a video.
Yeah, we're trying a new thing with our buyers, is that we send them brownies through sendoutcards.com. And we also do that with our title agents too. So it's one of those customer appreciation types of websites. It's pretty popular with realtors in terms of sending out cards and keeping that relationships going with people. And I've taken that advice from a local realtor here.
Yeah.
Good.
I always, that's one of the things that things come up later on, now and then a deed gets goofed up or something was wrong. So there's other reasons you want to have them, there and available. And then also you'd be surprised how many of them might be repeat buyers.
Yeah.
You know, once they like you, they're going to be like, you know, or even just word of mouth, you know, yeah. telling other people, you want some land, I have a guy, you know, it's really yeah. cool.
And we've done that with one of our attorneys, or actually two of our attorneys. I've sent them like Harry and David thank yous, because a couple of our attorneys and title companies, we've really used heavy and mm-hmm. really pushed them. We had a dedicated girl at one of the title companies who was just for us yep. Because we were giving them so much business. I just felt like we should say thank you.
Yeah, do we send them like a fruit basket for the whole office or something?
Yeah.
I've done that. I've hand delivered stuff to the county. I love it. It's important, especially if you and then when you call, they answer.
Exactly. They remember the food.
Yeah.
So good. So what are your is your goals going forward? You think you just go for a bigger dollar? What about bigger dollar and more?
Yeah, we're trying to increase the velocity. With bigger deals, a few more deals, and it all comes back to mail, of course. Right. And so I really have to get more mail out, and that's probably the biggest bottleneck of getting more mail out, in picking or finding areas that you really want to send mail to, and then sending that mail, scrubbing it all out, and getting it in, actually getting it in the mail. I'm trying to understand from other people in Land Academy, what type of volume does it take in order to get to have two or three of these? And, because right now we're really not at that level where we're saying where we can pick and choose. You know, a few come in, we buy them, or we could just kind of put them to the side, but there's still that problem, if you will, that we kind of feel like we're forced to buy something from a mailer. And I know that's a bad idea. You don't want to be in that situation. So,
and how much do you guys send out a month?
I think we're probably around 4,000 a month, 5,000. And that, I think that really needs to go to like 8,000. So that's what I need to do.
It's way more fun having too many deals. And just going, whoa, what do I do with all these? So I would definitely crank it. It sounds like you got this.
You got it set up.
You're not new.
Yeah.
You can crank it.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good system in place with our Podio system. And I've come up, I spent some time and money on developing a process in Excel that I can import a RealQuest X process, and it mostly prices it out pretty good. And then I'll spend an hour or two picking through it and fine tuning it. And then I'll be matching it up I can send it out. But it takes a while. I think picking the location is probably the biggest problem. You know, we try to focus on areas that are green, if you will.
Yeah, I understand.
That's the best.
Yep.
That's the thing. If you focus on that, and then you stick with the four or now five A's, you can't go wrong, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Do you guys sell property on the MLS just for fun?
We do.
We don't do it on a regular basis. We periodically will list it with a realtor, or we'll put it on like a flat fee MLS. But sometimes you get the property and it's dreamy, but it's got, challenges and, eventually somebody's going to buy it. Yeah. But what I do try to do is since I talk to so many people every day, is when I start noticing a pattern of where people are coming from, I immediately go out there and say, okay, they're coming from here and they're looking here. And I try to help Mike with that a little bit, as far as picking the counties, but he's mostly on that side. He puts together the mail and sends it out.
With regards to MLS, we are actually, this is a deal we wanted to tell you about. This is going to be one of our biggest deals yet. We have a deal in North Carolina that just, I think only yesterday, we accepted an offer for $75,000. So, and we bought that for 20. So we're very excited about that. Nice. We did put that in with through a Mossy Oak dealer. Uh-huh. And that was the first time using Mossy Oak. So everybody knows Mossy Oak's pretty expensive. They're going to be taking 10% of that. It started off about 60 days ago. Well, we had bought the property. It was, I felt like I couldn't lose at the price I was getting it at. It was actually two lots together. We bought for 20 in Buncombe County, and which is where Asheville is, right? Yeah. And I was trying to figure out the price of how I was going to market it. And I said to myself, you know, maybe this one I should bring in an expert on. Yeah. And I did that. And this is about the time where I was hearing the podcast about working with either Mossy Oak or Whitetail or something like that, or, you know, a good realtor. So I went to the Mossy Oak website, went to Buncombe County in North Carolina, and I basically just found the guy who had the most listings. And perfect. I reached out to him, I gave him a call, and he seemed like a great guy. I said, okay, look, let's just do it. Let's list it. He initially, to my surprise, listed it at $93,000.
Good.
And, great. Wow, that's really high. But we didn't get any offers. We lowered it to about $85,000. And then we got an offer for about 60 days later, for $65,000, which was kind of low. But we were coming into the holidays and, you know, and over the winter. And I was thinking, maybe we should just accept 68 or 70. And he said, 75, I'm pretty confident they'll take it, 75. I said, okay, whatever you say. And he went and renegotiated 75. That's what it was. Right. And they accepted 75. Now there are some contingencies on it. They're going to do a perk test and it won't close until January, but you know,
that's okay.
That's where we're at. So, it's a really good experience so far from putting on the MLS.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For a higher price property like that, stop me if I'm wrong here. We've had nothing but positive success stories just like that with brokers that are specialization brokers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm happy to pay.
We're also,
yeah.
And, you know, and this podcast, you guys are bringing the good luck here because we're closing on another deal. I mean, like this month is going to be it's going to be a big deal for us or the next few. So Kathy's going to tell us about the next deal that we just got an offer on. Go ahead, Kathy. Yay.
So I'm super excited about this one because so historically when we get a photographer out there and they take pictures, you know, it's rural vacant land. It's middle of nowhere. There's nobody except deer going by. This property was a little bit more close to a city on a busier road. And I asked the gentleman taking the photos, I said, please put a for sale by owner sign, put my phone number, my name on it, blah, 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 blah. We hadn't even closed on it yet. We started within, I don't know, not even 24 hours. We probably got 30 calls on it. We got 5 offers in less than a week, bidding wars, and we haven't closed on it yet. And they're like, do you own it? And I'm like, yes.
All right, so Michael, back to what you were saying, I think this is a direct result of how picky you are. I think you just want to make sure that instead of trying to buy 5 units out of a mailer, you buy 1 or 2.
Yeah, maybe. This one we had was another one. This one was another one in North Carolina. You know, a little bit more to the story on that. Like Kathy said, we sent out a photographer now, and our new thing is to have that photographer go to Home Depot, get a for sale sign, and when they visit the property, they stick it in on the road. Well, this property gets a lot of road traffic. And we get, I'll let Kathy finish the story, but initially we were thinking we'd buy it for 10 and we sell it for, 30 or 32.
We didn't have a price even.
Yeah, we didn't have a price. And then the neighbors started calling us very quickly, and Kathy continued the story.
Oh, so I didn't expect any calls because we never get calls that quickly. So they were like, what are you asking for the property? And I'm saying, 30-ish, but you tell me what you think it's worth. And so we got a bunch of offers and I started collecting them. You know, we had people giving us highest and best and so on. And then finally this one guy came back to us and he said, okay, I want to buy it. I want this dollar amount, but I'd like to own a financing. And so we went back and forth with the terms. They got better and better as the days went on. And he's a developer and he wants to change the zoning because there's no zoning in this particular area. So he could do half commercial, half residential because there's access points from both sides. Wow. And anyway, long story short, we didn't do the owner financing because we said, let's do velocity and it'll make it cleaner and easier for this gentleman to develop it. So we closed on it yesterday, or we recorded yesterday on the third, or Monday, on the 30th. And we sent the purchase agreement, selling it last night over to the attorney again, and he gave us $65,000 cash.
Nice.
So we bought it for 11. We're selling it for 65.
Nice.
Well, you guys are at
that would be our biggest
$5 Home Depot sign and a Sharpie pen and a hammer.
Well, at 50,000, if you're gonna net 50, all you need to do is 10 deals to make to make half a mil.
Yeah, you're right. And so, you know, I'll real quickly ask you to, Stevie, on this one. This deal started, this guy, the neighbors were at 32, then it went to 35. A realtor was saying 35, then it went to 39, then it went to 55 with financing from one neighbor. Wow. Then this guy called up, he says, I'll take it for 100. Whoa.
Holy cow.
Right?
I know.
We're like, what? 100? 100 cash. Done. Great. Well, he goes out there the next 2 days, he walks the property, he's like, nah, I can't do 100. I'm sorry, I'm backing up. Fine. Well, he was doing it with his brother, okay? His brother later on says, I'll do 100 owner financing. I'll put 20 grand down, $1,000 a month, and with a balloon payment in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
At 100 grand.
Okay.
Now, I almost took this. But at the end of the day, my partners in Land Academy, all my friends in Land Academy are saying, take the money, take the 65.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do the deal, would you?
Yeah.
We wouldn't even have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
You would take the cash?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Take the cash.
So, and I'm glad you said that. And, you know, I was thinking about this in my head and I was thinking, what would Steve say, right? You know, what would Jesus do, right? And it comes down to this velocity thing. I was thinking Michael Phelps into my head. Michael Phelps, a swimmer, you know, if he's plowing through water, in order for him to pick up speed, he just has to paddle harder. That water resistance is still stacking up against him as he's trying to get his body through the water. And if you want to be the top dog, you just got to power really hard, harder, 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 harder. And then if you're going to be the guy, rather than trying to, you know, well, you know, Michael Phelps isn't trying to say, well, maybe I should improve my swimsuit or fix my cap to save a few bucks or something like that. Just paddle harder. You know, and then you're gonna be the winner.
I love it. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys, as we kind of get close to getting to the end here, do you have any questions or anything you want to ask us?
Oh, you know, I think the thing we wanted to ask you is just, you know, Steve, when we saw you last time, it was 2 years ago, and we were at the bar, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We both had about 10 drinks in us.
It was really just one dollar.
And I said to you, Steve, how do I get out of second gear?
I remember this. I do remember this conversation.
That's still somewhat true today, you know. How do I get out of second gear? And because it's still our group here, you know, it's just basically me and Kathy doing everything. I'm still trying to figure out how do I really, you know, up my game to somebody, you know, like the other leaders in Land Academy, like Lori or Luke, you know, how do I get to that right mindset, you know, to what is it I got to do? And I said, just power through it as Michael Phelps does and just double my mail, double my workout. I don't know.
That's what I would do. I would turn up the faucet and you're just going to figure out how to take in more water. You'll figure it out really fast. And the only thing, the best thing will happen, you'll have so many wonderful deals that you can choose. You'll just only pick the really, really great deals, you know, kind of thing. And you'll be forced to be busy and maybe hire more staff and just get going.
Jill and I just recorded a podcast today.
Yeah.
Which will air on Friday, actually, because we're behind. And she said, I'm the kind of person who will walk up to a cliff and throw my clothes off and jump in. And I said, well, I'm the kind of person that probably is going to watch 10 or 15 or 20 other people do it, see where they land and kind of analyze the whole thing. But then I'm going in for sure. And then she said, most people won't ever even get out of the car and consider this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all could be a little bit more like Jill.
Oh,
just get in there and just find out what's going to happen.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I'm really grateful for the women's group, you know, because Jill, your inspiration is really going to help Kathy elevate our business here, because I'm stuck in my day job. I mean, my day job is the biggest hurdle right now. So for us to really move ahead, I've already told Kathy it's a lot of it's going to be on her shoulders.
Yeah.
We're starting, we're launching really soon here. And we're calling it around the office, the investors only package, where there's so many people now that just want to do the money part. And there's so many people like us who are comfortable doing the mail, have no problem with it. But I think when money becomes no issue, and you can identify some type of process to, once you get a great deal, or even if it's a marginal deal, one that you wouldn't probably spend your own money on, but you'll use an investor for it and fully say it's going to take 6 months instead of 20 minutes to sell this. Mm-hmm. So we're putting that all together now too, at request. There's so many people that just want to be money people. So yeah. I think that, you know, Jill and I burn through cash, as we should, in and out. And it's constantly never at a right level. We always have either too much money or too much real estate. Mm-hmm. And so I think partnershipping, if I asked that question to myself, I would say, you know what? We need a partnership, way more deals.
Let's say two
big, huge deals.
You guys are a perfect example for anyone who's watching or listening to this right now. We're all past the land works. We're all past the doing all this stuff. It's nothing about any of that. And it's so great that you guys are at this point where I want my company even bigger. You know, what a great problem to have. We're not worried about putting food on the table.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what a deed looks like, you know, anything which we all know we help everybody get there. But so now it's like that. And I'm so happy and excited and flattered that maybe with our little Land Academy ladies group, we'll just be quietly building a nice little company, Michael, and you're just going to turn around and go, what's going on over there? Yeah. She's going to say, you're out. You know, I only need you for this little thing. You know, you're the data person and I got everything else. And it's, you know, here's what we're doing.
That's my dream.
I know. Exactly. He would love it for you to say, I only need this one thing from you once a month. Done.
And then I would just teach too.
That's you. Yeah.
That'd be the best.
I firmly believe that women are better in this type of business and in most work these days than men are, because most of it's process oriented or people driven. And, you know, it's not just about labor anymore, where maybe men outshined women at one point in history. Now it's just communications and that type of thing. And this is, I think women are better at this.
For sure. Yeah.
I think men have a lot of, you know, strengths as well. I don't think we're all, I think, you know, we definitely, it's divided. Like, he's very good at negotiations and closing the deal. And that's where I'm a little weaker. I always just say, please give me a number, like what's our bottom number, and then I'll take care of it from there and make sure we don't go below that number on selling. But you know, there's areas where, you know, I can sweet talk my way out of, you know, a bad conversation pretty quickly. Yeah.
This last deal for $65,000, we were all prepared to double our money. We bought it for 10 or 12, we were gonna sell it for 32, 35, okay.
Yeah.
Great, you know, not a great deal in the books. But we kept our mouths shut and we started asking mm-hmm. people, you know, what is it worth to you? And the,
yeah.
and the 32 became 35, the 39, the 55 turned into 100, which basically came back to a 65. Wow.
And we did throw it on the line, doing offers from our sign, and someone stole the sign.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so,
oh my gosh.
To finish up though, yeah, we're just looking for the inspiration, you know, to go big and, you know, those types of things. And I guess I just have to turn on the faucet, create a problem for myself.
You got it. We're right here. I love it.
It was great talking to you guys. I'm so glad, you know, I really remember having a consultant call with you guys and you're just frustrated as hell really early on. And I'm so glad it worked out for you.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for coming on the show. Yeah. I'm happy to catch up with you and I get to talk to Kathy.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Looking forward to, you know, when we can all get together again in Puerto Vallarta.
Right? All right. I like that idea. Exactly. Thank you again.
You can close it.
How did we close it?
Happy you could join us today. And we don't have a script in front of us
because
we're not professional actors.
We're winging it.
But we had a wonderful conversation with the Alons here. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank all right. you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.